Thank you very much, Josh. Can I add one more thing that Josh learned from his dad? See, I've been over 30 years the recipient of many Roar stories. Matter of fact, I'm writing a book on the lessons I've learned from the Roars. Josh and the rest of you learned that cardboard boxes filled with ice do not make good coolers on long trips. Sherry is laughing. I'll say it again. Cardboard boxes filled with ice do not make good coolers for long trips. Don't try it. Josh, to you also, I just want to say, listen, you should get more sentimental when you get older. It means that your heart's softening. So if you don't, then you better kind of examine your heart. Well, now that they took up all my time, I really don't even have to preach. I think you learned a lot this morning. I'll share a couple of things. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to stand to pray so you could just stretch out a little bit, and then I'll try to do my best to move things along. Father, we do thank you for the fathers here today who've taught their children different things. Each are different. Thank you for Craig and Josh sharing about their dad this morning. And Lord, for the lives that they lived and continue to live, the influence they continue to have. Guide us now. Help me, Lord, get my thoughts together as we look to your word this morning. I pray you bless in a special way each and everyone here, as only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting that Josh mentioned the word legacy at the close of his remarks. And of what I want to share with you this morning, the time that I have, I want to speak to the subject of Father's best legacy. Legacy is a word that is used for something that's handed down from someone who has gone on before from one generation to another generation. So let me ask the dads present this morning, what is the greatest legacy that you can pass on to your children? Is it a good education? Is it a good work ethic? Is it a generous inheritance? Is it the value of a good reputation? Is it a good moral example? As important as all of those things are, I would suggest that a Christian father's legacy should surpass all of those things. The best legacy a father can leave his children is to leave them a godly example to follow and teach them to love God above all else and to live a life that is pleasing to him. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:10, "You are witnesses in God also how holy and righteous and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. For you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Paul used the example there of an earthly father who would exhort his children toward good behavior to make the point that he saw himself as a spiritual father to everyone in the church of Thessalonica. And his duty as a spiritual father is the same spiritual duty that all Christian fathers have toward their children. They must teach them by word and by example to walk worthy of the Lord. He told the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." To walk worthy of the Lord means to walk in a way that the Lord not only expects from all of his children, but deserves from all of his children. It is to walk in a way that will bring honor and glory to God. It is conduct that is pleasing to God. It is a life that produces spiritual fruit. It is a life that is governed by the knowledge of God through the Word of God. Jesus said in John 15, "I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it would bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Speaking about that close, intimate, personal relationship we need with him. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Nobody can live a life worthy of the Lord until they first comprehend the value of the love that God has bestowed upon them. We love God, the scripture says, because he first loved us. You know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Satan's goal from the very beginning of creation, the creation of man, has been the destruction of the world. That's been his singular goal. God desired to save the world, not just the planet we call Earth, but the human beings made in his image who live upon this earth. And that is why he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice, as the scripture says, for the sins of the whole world. That's for the sins of every human being made in the likeness of Adam, fallen into sin and hopeless without Christ. So to live a life worthy of the Lord begins with an understanding of the depth of the love of God in Christ, who gave himself for you so that you might have a life that transcends this very short sojourn here on earth. Speaking as a father, I can say from my heart that you must come to God the Father through his Son before you can be the kind of father that God wants you to be to your children. And as far as my legacy on this earth is concerned, let me say this. The best way my daughter can honor me is to honor the Lord with her life. I want my legacy to be the biblical truth she embraces, makes her own, and lives out every day of her life. I want my legacy to be the love that she has for God and the love that she has for others. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want my legacy to be her heart of devotion for God. I want my legacy to be the fervent prayers that she prays to God. I want my legacy to be the service that she will render to God. And if you are a Christian dad, I hope you want that same legacy for all of your children. That they would live out the Christian life. That they would live out the truth that you and their mother has instilled in them. Moses said in Deuteronomy 6, "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Doesn't matter how much scripture you know up here. If it doesn't travel here, if it doesn't change your heart, it's all just an accumulation of knowledge. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your home, and on your gates. In other words, the scripture should encompass your whole home, life, everything you do, from the morning to the evening. Psalm 78, verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children who will be born, who would rise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. One generation passes the revelation of God, the truth of God's word, onto the next generation, who then passes it on to the next generation. Three generations are taught the word of God in Psalm 78. Genesis 50:22, Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, who were brought up upon Joseph's knees. What do you think he was teaching them? There was a king of Judah named Asa, and he serves as an example this morning of a godly legacy. It says in 1 Kings 15, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maaka, the granddaughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his fathers, which they had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him, and by establishing Jerusalem. It says in verse 8 that Abijam rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his place. Unlike his father, who did wickedly, it says that Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't grow up in a godly home. Think about it. His father was a wicked man, but he did what was right. He did have a godly heritage going back to David. In 1 Kings 15:24, it says, Asa rested with his fathers. He was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place. What legacy did Asa leave behind? A son named Jehoshaphat, the fourth king of Judah, who would rule for 25 years as one of Israel's best rulers. It says in 2 Chronicles 20:31, Jehoshaphat was king over Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shili, and he walked in the way of his father Asa. That's the legacy that was passed on to him. And he did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. So Asa's legacy was a godly son named Jehoshaphat, who became a godly ruler. His son embraced the truth that his father held. He loved God. He was devoted to God. He served God. He prayed fervently to God. And he bore spiritual fruit in the nation of Judah. He was there in a time of crisis. Fathers, you can never underestimate the value of a life lived for Christ. We heard that this morning from Josh. We heard from Craig, who didn't have that spiritual legacy passed on to him. But nevertheless, God got hold of his heart, and he passed it on to his children. My admonition to you today, fathers, is to leave your children a godly legacy. To follow the truth of the Word of God and the gospel of Christ, so that that can be passed from one generation to another. Last Sunday, Kim preached on the death of truth in America. Brothers and sisters, truth is dying in America right before our eyes. I never could have ever imagined I'd be seeing the things take place in this country. And I'm only going to be 68 years old. It's unraveling before our eyes. It's in a great spiritual decline. It's in a moral decline. We cannot make America great again through any political agenda. It must come by God's word, which alone has the power to change a human heart. The only way for the truth of God's word to be revived is through two of the institutions that God has ordained, the church and the Christian home. Fathers must love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and they must lead their homes. They must bring their children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. They will make mistakes. There are no perfect fathers. Asa and Jehoshaphat both made serious mistakes. King David made serious mistakes. You may not be where you should be as a father, spiritually speaking, but you can begin to change that starting right now. Starting right now. You can go home, you can go alone before God, and you can say, God, by your grace, help me to be the father that you want me to be. Help me to be the husband you want me to be. Help me to be the leader of my home so that my children can have the kind of an example that will establish their feet upon a rock, Christ Jesus, that cannot be moved no matter what comes their way in life. Don't let your past or present discourage you from making the change that God would want you to make in your life. I also have to say that you can be a godly father, you can be married to a godly wife, and it's no guarantee that your children are going to turn out godly. They have to own the truth for themselves. And if they do not do that, is not a failure on your part. They'll give an account to God. The Corinthian church was not a model church. Think about it. It was anything but a model church, despite the personal instruction they got from the greatest teacher other than Christ, who I believe ever lived, the Apostle Paul. And yet he said to them, and I'm almost finished, he says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. He was telling them, I am your spiritual father. And I'm admonishing you, I'm warning you, I'm instructing you. Therefore, he says, I urge you, imitate me. Follow me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ. So I teach everywhere in every church. We all need good reminders, don't we? So Paul told the Corinthians, I'm sending Timothy to you, my faithful son in the Lord, to remind you how I want you to live. I want you to look at my life. I want you to think of all the things that I have taught you. And I want you to imitate me. If you've received good instruction in your life from your father or from someone else, Follow it. Be an imitator. What we need in the church are fathers and mothers who have a desire to live lives worthy of the Lord, to gain God's approval, not men's, all the days of their life. Fathers who will trust and obey with their whole heart. Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and your teaching closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, Timothy was already saved. So what's he saying? If you take the truth that I have taught you and you hold it in your heart and you live it out, you won't make a mess out of your life. You'll save yourself from a lot of needless sorrow and the consequences of your sins. So embrace the truth. Make it your own. And you'll save yourself from a lot of sorrow and heartache. And maybe you'll save your family as well. Because you all know, as well as me, that children learn by what? Example. If you don't pray, why should they pray? If you don't obey, why should they obey? If you don't follow hard after the Lord, why should they? If you don't serve, why should they serve? Look at the example that was mentioned this morning. A man, D.L. Moody said, and I close with this, a man ought to live so that everybody knows he is a Christian, and most of all, his family ought to know. You can't fool your children, right? You can't fool your wife, you can't fool your mother, or you can't do it. Their mother. So men, rise up, as the song goes, O Church of God, rise up and be what God wants you to be. A godly father who will lead his home and have the joy of seeing his children follow the Lord.